You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Ken Gang West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's great of you to join us. Thank you so much. As always, I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Peacemaker Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Give it up for the guys. The music. The music. Guys, what's going on, man? Anybody?
Hey, man.
Hey, Kevier.
What's up? What's up? Yo, I'm in my garage. Once again, live from the garage, the Wayne's World Studios here in Baytown, Texas. Albert's on 610. After he picks up his grill, he can come out here to Baytown and chill with me and drink some of this chocolate barista quad that I'm enjoying. I'll get a 12-pack of Pepsi if that doesn't work.
There you go.
Oh, in Baytown.
In the Heights.
Yeah, I'm over here.
I'm only about 30 minutes away.
Yeah, I'm getting off over here on Shepherd and Dunham. There's the restaurant over here. I work at this restaurant over here, and she's training to open the restaurant over in San Antonio. But so I'm on the road right now. But I'm already almost to my destination, so I'm gonna park and wait, and we're gonna have fun on the show tonight.
Nice. Christian from Philly, are you there, my man?
Yes, I am here. I'm just getting over the fact that there's only one thing that I'm looking forward in the Money in the Bank pay-per-view this Sunday, and that's the men's briefcase match. That's the only match I'm looking forward to on the pay-per-view.
The Money in the Bank match, and yes, I'm sure you will go over the full detailed report here in a little while. But, yeah, and I'm going to see you out there Saturday, Kevier, at the Kylie Rose Foundation. Right. And that's going to be at the Baytown Fairgrounds, 7900 North Main Street, Baytown,
yeah.
Texas, 77521. Now, these are the tickets. You can purchase them at the KayleeRoseFoundation.com. And, or you can also check it out on Facebook at the Kaylee Rose Foundation. They've got a big lineup going on out there this weekend. What's that, bud?
Good food and a lot of good live music. There's some bigger Texas country names coming in, at least in the scene that I'm not exactly a part of. Like, we're more on the rock side, and these guys are doing big things. But honestly, like, I can't tell you one of these fellas' names. So I'm doing the worst promotion. But no, it's like guys that, like, you'll hear on 93Q Country and stuff. They're going to be there.
I'm going to get probably in the 4 o'clock hour. At 4 o'clock, they've got Dave Ross Band going on. I'd like to for sure get there by the time 5 o'clock rolls around to check out John Cassidy.
That's the biggest name on there, I think.
Yeah. And so, and then, of course, they're going to have a live auction after that and a trophy presentation and whatnot. So I don't know.
I'm just mainly excited because I just bought a 500-watt Rumble combo amp from Guitar Center yesterday. And so I got a fucking 500-watt amp I'm going to be rocking. And everybody's actually backlining all of our stuff. Yeah, I got this nasty bass amp. And it's going to be the debut of that. And the Fender amp with the Fender Jazzmaster combo debut. A lot of fat, nasty bass lines going to be going on. I've been practicing triplets on bass, so get with me.
I play
country rock, but I'll still try to bust out a solo if he comes.
Triplets on bass. Wow, I like the sound of that. The sound of that alone is worth the price of admission. $5, and then you can also buy the
amazing 500-watt bass amp.
Yeah, And you can also buy plates of food out there for $10. And all the money goes to the Kylie Rose Foundation. Now, the thing about this Kylie Rose Foundation is I think that they do they help out people who have children in the hospital. You know, say you come in from out of town or whatnot, and they will help you out. And so that's what this money is for, is to help out people who have a loved one in the hospital. And, you know, maybe you're going through hard times right now, and that's what this is about. Check it out, the Kylie Rose Foundation on Facebook, and get there if you can. So, yeah, Kevye, you went to you had some local wrestling report this week, maybe?
Dude, yes.
Yeah,
so I didn't go. I didn't get to go, but I did watch live on Fight TV, and it was fucking awesome, dude. I watched on my tablet, and it cost $14 to watch the show. It would have been. It's like $25. They did two shows. They did a show in Houston and then a show in Dallas the next night, which is crazy to me because the same people that wrestled in Houston the first night like seemed like they like you know barely walked out of there, and then they went and wrestled again the next night. So
wow.
There's just a lot of stars, like, in both companies to be watching. And, like, Christian, too, dude, like, just knowing what you – kind of picking up what you like about wrestling, like, you should look at both of these companies if you haven't already, dude, because there's – I know some of them are, like, more on the deathmatch side on GCW side, but Loco's got, like, 100% talent. I think you're going to see more of these guys on AEW. They did bring in Joey Janela from AEW, and they brought in Sammy Guevara in the past and stuff. But, no, I mean, they brought in people that they haven't brought in before. They brought in this guy, Brian Keith, who is a guy who, like, has been blowing up for the last year. And he had this match with a guy from Dallas called AJ Gray. And they just slapped the fuck out of each other. They took, like, hard slaps to, like, another level, like, where they –
nice.
That was the story they told in the match, where they just slapped the piss out of each other the whole time. And it made a lot of sense. It was really fun.
Other than
that, like, there was, like, other matches that stuck out. Dante Leon – trained at he's like a local regular, and he's trained at Seth Rollins wrestling school, and he's like a big up-and-coming star. I think he's gonna blow up. He wrestled Joey Janela. They were the first match. That was a really badass match. There was a Lucha Scramble that had ASF. We've had him on the show before. Antonio San Francisco was in that match.
Yeah,
a couple of guys I never heard of, and then Low Rider was also in the match. But the guys I never heard of, dude,
nice.
Go back and watch this match. That's the cool thing, too. If you buy Loco's events or GCW on Fight, like, you can rewatch them. I can go back and watch them anytime. So,
oh, man, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can just go back
and
watch. And
then my boy Ninja Mac, I mentioned it last episode, but Ninja Mac has really been taking off. And Ninja Mac's got, like, another gimmick in AAA. And then he wore, like, the new ring gear to this event, and it was badass. And then he went the next night to Dallas and wrestled again. He wrestled Joey Janela in Dallas.
Nice.
So I think Ninja Mac or Kamikaze, I think you'll probably see that guy on more TV, like, really soon. He was headed to California, and I think he's been in California the last 2 days. So that guy's awesome. These are all, like, just Houston, like, area, you know, Texas originals. Maybe not just Houston, but San Antonio, the Hybrid School of Wrestling, I know we've talked about. A lot of people come from there. So it's cool. And GCW is definitely deathmatch wrestling, like, for the most part, but they have other kinds of matches, too.
And this is the one from Corpus, right? Corpus Christi?
No, it's a different one. That's Gulf Coast Wrestling. This is – man, what does this GCW stand for? It's like – man, I can't remember.
Yeah, you know what? I've read about that GCW just recently. I've read a little bit about
it. It's a different one.
Yeah, okay. Now I know which one it is.
Or something like that. I can't remember.
And they actually had a lot of press. They recently got a lot of press, GCW. Wow, man, I wonder if that's tied in. I definitely got to go back and look into that.
It's Game Changer Wrestling. My wife knew. My wife's a mark. She's sitting here with her AEW shirt on.
I'll tell you what, man. You sent me that link for the fight so that I could check out the replay of the pay-per-view. Thank you very much, by the way. I did not check out the pay-per-view. However, I did check out Fight. And, man, damn, there's a lot of stuff on there. And thank you for the heads up. I mean, you know, for $14, I might just stay home and rent those. Instead of, it's a good drive.
Support if you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's my thing. Like, if deathmatch wrestling isn't your thing and you don't want to be, like, front row in the action, do not bring kids to certain shows. Like, vet the wrestling shows you're going to. Because if you brought, like, I'm not saying that Loco's not kid-friendly. There's definitely times where we brought my buddy's little 8-year-old, and it was all cool. But if this shit's ramping
up,
like, vet what you're doing, like vet what you're going to see and make sure that it's like a safe thing to go see and sit front row or whatever, you know. I'm sure every wrestling event is always safe, but I'm just saying some of that shit's way too brutal for like 8-year-olds, I would think. It goes back to what we talked about them showing on TV. But like,
yeah,
you go to a
yeah.
live wrestling show, your 8-year-old might see some shit that you didn't want them to see, and that's your fault for bringing them to a local
show. I tell you
show.
What, though, the last time that you and I attended an event together, I was not able to get front row tickets. They were already sold out, and I sat, you know, in the audience like a peasant, you know.
It goes so hard.
Actually,
like it sells out super quick.
It wasn't bad.
They posted their tickets just yesterday for their next event, and they're selling super quick. Like,
nice.
And the room was packed. When Nick Gage, like, that's what the main event was, Nick Gage and Sadika. And when Nick Gage came out, I'll try to take a video and post it to you guys in the group to where y'all can see the entrance at the Houston Premier Arena, because it was crazy, dude. Nick Gage comes out, and dudes are getting all in his face. I don't know nothing about deathmatch culture, like the deathmatch wrestlers, but I know enough to know that this guy, Nick Gage, is like their Jesus or something right now. And
yeah.
The crowd fucking exploded, and they were
That's
all in
the guy that I remember reading
and
about.
And the story that
these
guys, him and Sadika, were telling in the ring, even though it was deathmatch wrestling, they told this crazy ass story in the ring, and it was the best match of the night by far. And it was the most brutal shit I'd probably ever seen, and it was happening 30 minutes away from my house. It was crazy.
That's nice. I want to check that out. You said that's online somewhere? I know who he is. I know who Sadika is.
Just look up Best of Nick Gage on YouTube and watch that shit. That video tripped me out. I was like, to where you can ask my wife, on the edge of my seat the whole time I was watching it on paper, I was like, somebody is going to get hurt because of how hardcore this shit is, but they're all professional as fuck. Chris Carter wrestled, what was the guy's name? Jason Lloyd, I think, or Jimmy Lloyd. And he's like a failed child actor. He's like a big deathmatch wrestler. Chris Carter's like Loco's poster boy. And Chris Carter took bumps I never seen nobody fucking take in this match. It's super fucking crazy. The guy's like 5'5 and weighs 100 pounds, but he took like crazy fucking bumps off the top rope.
Wow.
Just fucking threw shit. So they're pushing it, but it's also being done super well. So it's cool. It's cool. Both companies deserve some respect, like coming out of like when crowds are going to start coming back, and the Loco and GCW are both seem like kind of like farm grounds for AEW and places like that too.
Yeah. Well, man, that was great,
yeah.
Dude. I'm glad that you got to check it out. Kudos, man, for giving us the report.
Something happened on NXT right now.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
Christian?
Sadika.
Mandy Rhodes has just returned to NXT for no reason whatsoever.
Mandy Rhodes?
Yeah.
Boo. Nice. Nice.
She just returned. That means another that's not good for the tag division. Another tag team just broke up.
Well,
yeah, they had a weird interaction. There was like a weird promo on Raw where they were all talking to each other, and I can't remember what the argument was, but it was like,
they were just being whiny girls. So I don't know. It's stupid.
Yeah. So, well, back to NXT.
Big surprise
in
NXT, Mandy Rose.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of NXT, another happened. Tegan Nox and the other girl, Shotzi Blackheart, debuted in the main roster last week.
Yes.
I was not impressed.
I was not either. I watched it and was not impressed.
I was not. Tegan Nox could be a good wrestler, but Shotzi Blackheart is shit. I'm sorry. She's garbage. She's the most overrated wrestler I've heard. You don't know how I've heard so many people say, oh, my God, Shotzi's great. Oh, my God. I think she's the most overhyped female wrestler ever.
I think she's one of these indie wrestlers that's been, like, throttled by WWE to where, like, she doesn't get to work her style that she did on the indies, and so she's boring in WWE. The only thing some of these guys get to keep of their style is, like, their general movement. Like, the only thing they really get to keep is, like, how they walk around and get in the ropes and shit like that. But when it comes to, like, how you're going to do the move, they're not really given a lot of leeway on that kind of shit once they get to WWE.
Another Another female NXT wrestler who's debuting on SmackDown for no reason is Toni Storm.
Hell yeah.
She was a loser in NXT.
There's a reason.
Well, they have to, you know, replenish the roster after so many people have been, you know, taken away.
People.
Yeah.
Bayley's getting hurt.
Yeah. That's the big one right there.
Toni Storm's gimmick is that she wears a baseball hat, and I don't like that.
Maybe they'll change it up.
They never should have turned her heel in the first place.
They're WWE sure is rotating through a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like they're releasing a lot of people, and a lot of people are just getting shifted around. And it seems like, and I was thinking about this the other day too. It seems like it's like one of their business strategies. You know, like they let somebody go, like they try everything to make somebody work in a certain capacity and in different capacities, like moving from Raw, moving to SmackDown, NXT, like whatever. If something's not catching on, or maybe they are catching on, but not in the way they want them to catch on, they let them go, you know? And then, like, if they catch on, like, in TNA or New Japan or even maybe even AEW now, they'll, like, do the whole, like, re-sign thing, like, kind of what they did with, like, Drew McIntyre and shit. And
awesome.
It's kind of like, I don't know, it's been kind of odd, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like the roster is kind of like, I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, you guys think that they just, like, fucking hired too many people, like, in the last few years, and now they're just finally...
They did it on purpose. When AEW... I think we talked about it on the show. When AEW was starting, they were, like, they were buying up all the talent. And they were having everybody be at the Performance Center and NXT. And they were, like, you know, they used to have multiple camps, like OVW and shit like this, where they could send people. But it was all just stay at the Performance Center. And then a lot of those people, the homegrown talents, a lot of those, you know, the Mojo Rallies, the fucking No Way Jose's, fucking, what was the guy with the big head's name? The guy who couldn't get along with anybody. Fucking, anyways, you know.
The sweaty guy?
Yeah, fucking, it's not Lars, what's his name?
Lars Sullivan.
Fucking guy with the big head. But no, it's like they invested so much into these people, and then they just let them go too. So these were homegrown WWE talents that are working the indies now, working WWE style.
Speaking of moving around,
is what they're doing, because those people can't get over at indie shows probably the way they wrestle.
I
think they could. I mean, if they just try to, you know,
totally,
a little bit different style, but it is definitely adjusting for them. Is that coming from any other company?
Well, guess what? Everybody's fucked when it comes to the draft, everybody, because guess what? It's going to be at October, the fucking draft. So we got 2 more months of terrible storylines and repeating matches.
What
we have to wait 2 more months.
Apparently, what happened with that? Apparently, what happened with that was, you know, with all the shifts and adjustments that have been made on the inside and shit, like they haven't had time to, you know, plan shit the way they're supposed to and stuff. I mean, the whole thing is a clusterfuck right now. Right now is the time for AEW to fucking really step up, man.
Right now, Judge. I mean, it's a clusterfuck for the last few years, man. But yeah, you're right. Yes.
But yeah, right now is the time where you would hear fucking finish him. I mean, because fuck, man, they are
that's
in a fucking
doing,
disarray
that's, they're
over
pulling
there.
The trigger. They're pulling the trigger on Hangman Page. They're pulling the trigger on that storyline in AEW, and that's their golden goose. That's the one they've been waiting for a couple of years.
Yeah.
If they can get him over and do this right, then they'd be on the right track for being like. And I'm not saying it all rests on Hangman Page's shoulders. But if they can pull this storyline off and, like, wrap up a couple other stories in the same way, I think that AEW would be okay. I think they just need to keep doing what they're doing. I don't think they need to ramp anything up.
Interesting. So,
same. I think, you know, with the video game coming out, I think it'll be good for them to get some, you know, marketing in different levels.
Yeah.
I think they need to market
up. Video game?
They're,
the
mobile
game?
It almost... Yeah, Tony Khan put a lot of money into this video game, man, and apparently it's what's keeping the company from making a profit right now. However, you know, Kevin, you said they don't really need to ramp things up, and I think they do need to ramp things up just a little bit, but maybe not on the wrestling side. I think, like, on the outside, I think, like, you know, television appearances, maybe
yeah.
cameos on TV shows, talk shows,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff, too. That stuff that AEW is not doing, and it's even hard for WWE to do that, and they're the biggest company, but I think
Jericho
that they can
pull his weight on that, bro.
Get more
you know, I mean, he's
yeah.
done a fucking, he's worked with ABC and shit, so he needs to come
I
out
think,
and do that for them.
There's a couple examples I can think of, like, I know, wasn't Cody and Brandy were on Forbes magazine or something like that whenever they, I think whenever the
yeah,
baby was born, they got the cover of Forbes.
They're doing
and
something
then,
new as well. Some
Darby
type of reality show or some shit.
Yeah.
They have their own reality show, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Darby Allin will be in Jackass 4. I saw that announced.
Well,
Darby Allin's going to, so that's good cross promotion right there.
Oh, that's cool.
That's,
yeah.
It's not new. Total Divas came off first. It's not really new.
No. No, but it's still, it is what it is. It's new to them. So,
yeah.
Guys, do you guys remember Orndorff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Mr. Wonderful, yeah.
Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. I remember this guy from Mid-South, and then later on in Georgia Championship Wrestling. And then from there, you know, I never really cared for, you know, WWF at the time during that era. But then I saw him over at WWF, and, you know, he was with, I think, I want to say it was Heenan. Yeah, Heenan. And so they were going out. They were heels, of course.
He ended up rival.
Yeah, then he ended up being Hulk Hogan's partner,
mm-hmm.
and they were feuding with some. I can't remember who the hell it was, and then fucking he turned on Hogan. That was badass.
Yeah.
Gave him a fucking clothesline, then a pile driver and shit. And so yeah, those are my memories of that guy. I thought he could cut a pretty good promo for back. You know, it was different back then, obviously, than it is now. His promos were decent. He always came out in a nice robe and shit like that. And he had a great,
yeah.
I mean, great physique. Holy shit. This guy was chiseled. And,
he was built like a wrestler. Like the idea of like maybe what
yes.
we thought a wrestler would look like when
Absolutely.
We were younger. It's going to be different like for kids, like later generations. There, you know, there's so many different body types and stuff, but that was what like a wrestler looked like for the longest time. So that's,
right.
when I looked at pictures of him today, I was like, damn, this guy was a fucking shithouse. You know what I mean? Or what do they call brick shithouse?
A brick house. Yeah, a brick shithouse.
Unfortunately,
nerve damage caused him to retire from wrestling. Too much nerve
yes.
damage.
Yeah,
but
one of my earliest memories of him was WCW when he joined WCW in the early to mid 90s there, and he ended up with that nasty pile driver, man, that like that was fucking scary. I think it was on the entrance ramp or something like that too, and I think that's what really fucked up his career right there. But yeah, rest in peace, rest in power to Mr.
Yes.
Wonderful.
For
yeah.
sure, for sure. And unfortunately,
WrestleMania 1. He was in the main event of WrestleMania 1. That's the craziest fact about him. That's just wild to me.
Unfortunately, he had a rough year or so to the ending of his life because he also had been diagnosed with dementia. That was playing a role. It actually played
oh, yeah.
a role in his death. And you know, dementia is something that it's not talked about as much, but. It's really bad. It's
yeah.
really bad.
We literally talked about it last week with Terry Funk.
We went deep into it.
We did. We touched on it last week, and then, you know, here now this.
Terry Funk
so,
out
yeah.
there. Terry Funk out there tweeting. We see Funkster. What was I going to say? Paul Orndorff. There was a takeaway from this that I wanted to touch on.
Mr. Wonderful.
Oh, it's because I was talking about shoot interviews last week and, like, wrestlers that are fun to listen to talk about the good old days Orndorff is one of those guys. You can look up on YouTube, look up Orndorff, and he talks about, like, what wrestling was like in the 60s and the 70s, and it's fucking awesome hearing his stories.
Nice.
You want to talk about something tragic? Could we talk about fucking Bayley getting fucking torn ACL and she has to miss 9 months?
Well, let's talk about it briefly. Yeah, it is. It's very tragic. But, you know, when they're doing throws, when they're doing the stunts that they're doing and shit, and then they're doing them for free. You know, like we had a stunt last night where somebody jumped on somebody through a fucking table and shit. What was that last night?
She wasn't doing it wrestling. She wasn't wrestling when she got injured.
But still, I mean, you know, they're working out and shit, and I mean, you know, it's rigorous.
You're saying they weren't working in the ring, or she was exercising or something?
She was working spots in the ring. She was training because Vince, in all wisdom, decides to effortlessly train them more before they go on live crowd. And fucking Bayley got an accident of an injury, tore her ACL. Now she has to be out for 9 months. Way to go, man. Great thinking, you know. Great thinking.
Yeah.
They
shouldn't be training at all. That's just stupid.
On the other hand, like, these guys essentially should be, like, on some kind of regimen where they're training like that regularly. Like, I would do that. If I was running the wrestling company, I'd be like, yeah, so you guys got to come to work. You also got to come to work on time to, like, train and get this stuff. You know, you got to, like, prove that you're training and staying in shape and shit like that. They like people go for not doing that, you know?
Yeah. So,
she's going to be out. She's going to miss WrestleMania again. That's two years in a row she's not going to do anything.
It's unfortunate, brother.
She'll come back. Look, she's had a super bad run, and people have shit on her, and people didn't buy into this new character. Some people did, but I'm just saying, this is going to be a clean slate when she does come back, and it's going to be a clean slate separate from the COVID era and all that. When Bayley comes back, it'll be like a whole new thing.
Hopefully. No, unfortunately, it's not because they had a YouTube video where she blamed the fucking fans for her to get injured. She's going to come back being the same
fucking
character.
We'll see what
develops, man.
It's all speculation right now, man. And
they
we're just wasting time speculating.
I just mean that,
and then we're going to end up going over on time and,
I just mean
based
that by
on
the
speculation.
Time she comes back, things will be different. By the time she comes back, things will be different. And it'll fit whatever narrative it is.
All right.
Birthdays. Let's see. We had X-Pac today. Who did that? That was good.
You're dealing with the X Factor. Play Uncle Cracker.
You think you can tell us what to do?
I know everything that I ever
got. You think you can tell us what to do? You think you're ready?
Hey, you know what, guys? X-Pac might have himself a final run here in WWE pretty quick. That's what the rumors are. So, but don't hold me to that.
What was the gimmick where X-Pac wore the mask? Where he wore like the luchador, or it was like the superhero mask? What was that? Was that Pegasus? Was it 1-2-3 Kid?
Dynamite Kid.
He wore a mask for a while, and it looked like Nikki Ash. That's what I was thinking. It's like bring him back as that character.
I think
that's the guy who recently passed away too.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Aldo Montoya. No, he's still alive. Aldo Montoya's still alive. He's just incredible.
Was it the Patriot?
That's just incredible. You're right. Sean Waltman and Justin Credible look a lot alike. You got to give me that. Bro, not to get too far off the rails. Bro, this is another Kevin suggested YouTube wrestling views. Look up Justin Credible's wrestling school on YouTube. If you look up Justin Credible wrestling school, he has like a whole fucking channel where he like teaches, he exposes the secrets of the business. And he's in the ring with like a dummy, like, or like a dude teaching you like how kayfabe on everything. But anyway,
he's like that magician on Fox a few years ago.
Yeah, he's like the unmasked magician. Yeah, or the masked magician. Yeah.
accept that.
He doesn't he's wearing the fucking Aldo Montoya mask in the video.
I'm pretty sure they did a special like that on TV where they had the voice of Salem the Cat talking. Facing the business.
I know what you're talking about. I know, because I had that recorded on VHS one time. It was on NBC, right? And it was called the NBC thing at the height of like the fucking 90s wrestling boom. NBC put out a show, like an hour-long special called, that was a move.
I know what you're talking about. It was called, they all had to wear lucha masks. They showed you all the holds and stuff. I want to say that, like, Perry Saturn was one of those guys. I want to say that one of those guys was Perry Saturn. It was Hannibal. Hannibal was one of those guys, too.
I'll tell you two wrestlers that were there. One was Harley Race, and the other was Christopher Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher Daniels?
I think I've heard that it was Harley Race before. How would you say that?
Wow.
Yeah, Christopher Daniels was the Slither.
Man, I gotta go look at all this shit. I gotta go look at this shit. Sounds very entertaining.
It was like the biggest shit. It was the biggest shit. I remember going to school the next day after that thing aired and like passing the fucking tape around to all my friends, and we were like freaking the fuck out. We were like, look at this shit. I'm like, no, you recorded it. I was like, yeah, I got this shit recorded. And everybody that was into wrestling in my grade, which was everybody, watched that shit, and it was just fucking minds were blown there.
It was an insult to wrestling fans because it makes it seem like we're fucking idiots. Like, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all knew it was fake, but it was just like the idea of the thing was just fucking insane.
Chuck, would you say that you're from the generation where, like, when you were a kid, kayfabe was still a thing? Like, you think that you had kayfabe up until you were, like, a teenager? Or, like, when did you realize, like, that wrestling was fake? Was it
until I was, like, a teenager. I mean, you know, I had always heard and shit that it was fake and stuff like that. But, like, to me, I mean, like, some of the shit was so real. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
what gave it away for you? What was the thing that you were like, oh, the shit's fake?
I can't really. Well, WWE, I mean, you know, or WWF at the time. They were not just the cartoon shit. I mean, it just wasn't nowhere near as real as NWA, and so, like, to me, that exposed a lot.
For them to shift to that so quick, to be like, this is a cartoon character now doing it, like, you don't believe that. Yeah, like Earthquake, a character like Earthquake or something, you probably don't believe as much. Maybe, like, Earthquake is a weird one, because you could believe that he's a fighter that just goes by Earthquake, but he was a cartoony character still.
We talked about this before, too, about, like, you know, I think, like, last year, about how, you know, it was cartoony, but there was, like, that kind of shift of, like, television entertainment, you know what I mean? And some of that, not all of it was brought on by Vince McMahon. A lot of it was brought on by Dusty Rhodes, too, with, like, those, like, outside-the-box storylines and shit like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, think of it this way. I mean, like, a gimmick is a gimmick no matter how outrageous it is. I mean, you can have a guy in a fucking dolphin outfit, like, in the 1980s, dressed like a fucking dolphin. It's just like, oh, that's just his stick to stand out.
Yeah,
people did that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And he's just beating people up, you know what I mean?
No, you're right. People did have those kind of characters back then. And the kayfabe still passed. People still believe the kayfabe of it or whatever.
I just hate the fact that I knew wrestling was fake when I was a teenager, but I always hated the people saying, "Oh, that's not real. That's fake. People, they don't really care."
Oh, yeah.
And I said,
"Motherfucker, let them beat the fuck out of you. Let them slap you. Yeah, let them slap you down the ring to each other."
Yeah, it's scripted, but these people really do get fucking hurt. Don't say they don't get hurt. They really do get fucking hurt.
Or when people tell you, "Oh, that's fake," expecting you to you know, not know, you know what I mean? Like, they're just like, oh, you watch wrestling? Like, you know, that shit's fake. It's like,
gross.
Well, yeah. Because
I remember the first time.
So, you know.
The first time I had to hit somebody with a chair as the minister of sinister, okay? And the guy told me, he said, "Look, man, you're going to have to lay it on me." And I said, what? He said, you're going to have to put it on me like hard. People need to hear that shit. He said, you know what? Do it right now. And I had my chair in my hand that had been assigned to me. And he said, do it right now. And he put his fucking back to me like that. And he said, do it. If you're going to do it out there, you got to do it. You got to do it. So I fucking whacked him. And he said, that's the way you do it. I whacked the shit out of him. Dude. You have to sell it. You have to sell it, dude. Back then, the chair shots were so much more realistic than they are now.
The guy asks me, oh, you know they don't get really hurt, right? I said, oh, okay, they don't get really hurt. Is that why they're showing fucking clips of him getting fucking shoulder surgery and fucking cutting his fucking shoulder open? Yeah, all right. Yeah. He's not really getting hurt.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Okay, pal.
Well, what people never could bridge the gap on is that it is fake to an extent. It's predetermined and it's choreographed and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But that it's like they don't understand the story part of it and the just like television, because we're just people that like watching television shows too. I'm sure all of us like television shows that have drama that don't have wrestling in them. You know what I mean? And so we do like the drama aspect of it all, but we like the fighting aspect of it too. I just think that people, to be so close-minded and be like, it's just like, it's something like comic books or video games. Wrestling is in the same subgenre of shit as that. You know, it's like a comic book. It's like a video
game. And that's strange,
it's like a TV
man.
Show. It's like
Hercules. Because I never liked comic books. And it's so fucking, I mean, you're right. Wrestling is, I guess, like a comic book. Guys,
I would describe it like this. I would describe it like this. It's like a live-action guerrilla movie. You know what I mean? You guys, you got a bunch of fucking people there. You've got a fucking fight scene, and you've got one shot to make it. You got one shot to make it, and that's it. And that makes it a little bit more interesting there.
I fucking watch Godzilla films, and those fucking look better right now than fucking comic books.
Yeah. Like you said, Albert, that's a big takeaway from the Loco show. When I was watching on pay-per-view, their camera work was great. It wasn't the shit that you see on WWE with the fucking hard camera angle, like the not the hard camera, but the rumble cam where they shake whenever there's a move. Like the crew, it's called Wrestling with Unicorns, that films these matches, and like they did a badass job. It was super awesome. Like just, and that's what it is. It's guys like we can't, because I've done that too, where I've like been the guy holding the camera trying to capture the moment, capture the move or the entrance or whatever it is, and or the promo, and you're coaching a guy for a promo and shit like that. And it's a magical thing that you can capture on film. So when you look at it from like a filmmaking way, yeah, you're right. It is like that. When
we've
they
got more birthdays
right,
coming
they
up.
Pull some shit out.
We've got more birthdays coming up this week. Jeff Jarrett, Bubba Ray Dudley, yeah. Charlie Caruso. Heath Slater, he's got kids, you know. Jesse the fucking Body. He was so badass on commentary. I used to love listening to that guy. Boogeyman.
I'm sorry. Heath Slater, man. He has to be one of the worst fucking TNA signings in a long time in the modern era. I'm sorry. He has to be one of the worst.
Is he with TNA now?
They haven't used him hardly, right? I mean, has he been really utilized?
Yeah, I have not seen this motherfucker on TNA TV since they fucking signed this fuck.
When did they sign him?
So crazy. Because he was a t-shirt seller. Like, when he left WWE, he could have gone and sold shirts no matter where he went if they'd have booked it right. And, they dropped the ball big time.
Motherfucker debuted last year at fucking Slammiversary, and after that, he hasn't done fuck all.
You're talking about Jesse the Body Ventura.
I'm talking about Heath Slater.
Heath Slater's birthday.
God damn it. This whole fucking time, I thought you were talking about Jesse the Body. I'm like, what the fuck?
Hey,
really?
You know what I would want to see? You know what story I would want to see? Heath Slater versus Orange Cassidy in AEW. I think that would have been a cool way to go whenever he left. If he'd have gone straight to AEW and done Orange Cassidy.
And maybe that was TNA pulling a WWE, you know? Let's get him before somebody else gets him. And here they are fucking still sitting on him a fucking year later.
He's not that
You're supposed to be talking about me, Jesse the Body Ventura. McMahon.
What was that, Jesse?
Oh, I got a lot of policies about pro wrestling I'd like to change. I got a lot of policies about steroid use. I got a lot of policies about about shaving your head and leaving a little bit of a mullet on the back.
You know what? We're going to make it legal in all 50 states, McMahon. We're going to make it all legal. And marijuana is going to be the new chocolate, and they're going to sell it on every street corner. And we're going to tax it, McMahon.
And we're going to
tax it. Kane, I know you've been in the politics game, but if you think you can stand toe to toe with Jesse the Body Ventura, just let me know. Let me know the day of the week, brother. I'll be ready for you.
You know, Jesse Ventura had his,
your policies against my policies.
You know, Jesse Ventura had his own movie, right? Predator?
Yes.
I saw it. No. He had his own TV show. Have you guys seen this pilot?
Yeah, it was about him and his group of paranormal investigators going to, solving mysteries and all that.
No. I know what you're talking about. There was a fucking Scooby-Doo. No. There was a fucking TV show in the late 80s starring Jesse Ventura and Roddy Piper as a pair of crime-fighting criminals. They put out one episode, and the show did not get picked up. And that episode is on YouTube somewhere.
Of course. Nice. Because the guy's fucking boring. He's boring.
You know what Jesse Ventura was? Was a better Hulk Hogan. He was a better Hulk Hogan, and he should have been a better Hulk Hogan. In an alternate universe, Jesse Ventura is Hulk Hogan, and it was Ventura Mania. It wasn't Hulkamania. And that's the thing. He was pitted against the Hulkster, I think. And I think that the Hulkamania was stronger than Jesse Ventura. But
God,
I think
damn it,
that as
that's
a person,
fucking brilliant.
I think that he's way cooler than Terry Bollea. He's like a cooler dude, even though he's like a crazy fucking politician or whatever.
He's
a cooler dude than Terry is.
He's a conspiracy.
The show was called Tag Team, and you need to go watch that on YouTube because it's fucking hilarious.
You mean the pilot? The movie he had was terrible. That fucking reenactment movie about how he became a wrestler and then it was not fucking true. They labeled this movie as a true story, like a biography.
Did he play himself?
Shit. No, it was some other guy who was playing him. And
really?
It was like a reenactment movie where they were telling his life story about how he was in the business, how he became a politician afterwards.
And there was
none
like
of it was fucking true. None of it was fucking true. First of all, he was not even. There was one scene in the movie where he said he was involved in the Montreal Screwjob. Get the fuck out of here! He wasn't involved with that shit. He wasn't even there.
I viewed the movie with none other than Alex Staunch from Staunch TV. I've watched this movie with him all drunk one night, but I don't remember it. I remember laughing our asses off at a lot of the parts of the Jesse Ventura movie because the guy who plays him is just some ridiculously fucking, I don't know. It's a ridiculous
movie. He's got the earrings in and everything?
Yeah.
He's
all
fabulous.
It's fucking horrible.
And if Jesse the Body Ventura wants to fucking believe that he was whatever the fuck you say or whatever the hell, then that's what he was. He's just fucking body.
I bet you this is not even what he wrote. I bet you it was the fucking directors who wrote this film for him.
Jesse's a wrestler. Even though he went to other shit, he's always been this fucking carny wrestler dude at the core. It's funny. But yeah, happy birthday. Any other big, who you said Bobby Lashley's birthday? Bobby Lashley,
yeah, Boogeyman, Bobby Lashley, Excalibur,
Bobby Lashley,
Daphne.
Lose a bunch.
You guys remember Daphne? I think she was from TNA.
Which Daphne? There's two Daphnes. One from WCW and one from TNA.
This one would have to be the
gothic,
one from WCW
gothic
because
Daphne.
It's from 1975.
They're the same Daphne.
Daphne was horrible. She was horrible.
She was horrible in TNA. She was definitely horrible in TNA. In WCW, she was
But the WCW one was fucking horrible. Every time there was a wrestler named Crowbar, No, she wasn't horrible because she wrestled, but she never wrestled. She wasn't horrible because she was wrestling. She was horrible because every time Crowbar wrestled, she was screaming the entire match like a fucking Banshee.
Yeah. That's what I remember about her. She was crazy. She was like a juggalit, kind of like a super goth juggalit, and kind of like
them.
What Alexa Bliss is.
I hate them.
I was watching Alexa, and I was like, damn, she's like definitely ripping off Daphne at this point. But
Mike
it's not really ripping off. Mike Knox, I don't recognize that name.
Mike, really? You got
it.
I saw Mike Knox in Corpus Christi, Texas.
There you go.
In a
was
dark
at,
match.
SmackDown?
No, it was Monday Night
too.
Raw.
He was with Kelly. And he was like, you know, she was like dating him or some shit. I saw him too,
He was in ECW.
Yes, that's when I saw him in ECW. Kelly.
He's a big old boy. Quarter past 10, Mike Knox.
Big white boy, put the fucking hurt on you.
Big old boy.
He'll put the fucking hurt on your ass every single time, bro.
His name was quarter past 10, Mike Knox. You know why? Because he kept doing his hands like a fucking clock.
This motherfucker, dude, he probably fucking, he has to be every bit of 6'4", 6'5".
6'6".
6'6". 300
pounds.
You minute here. Pull up his theme song because he had the coolest fucking theme song on the roster at that time for being such a jobber, but he had the coolest fucking theme song.
I can't just pull it up on demand, bro.
2009. Here, you want to hear it?
I'll do it. The finger.
Yeah,
right there, man. You walk.
Random.
You see my mouth come up? Yeah, it was fucking terrifying because we're just sitting there. It was a dark match, and nobody said shit. We're getting our popcorn or nachos and our beer, you know? And we're just sitting there, and the lights go dim. This theme song hits, like, louder than in holy hell. Everybody
hell
freaks
yeah.
the fuck out. And then here comes Mike Knox, like, running down the fucking aisle. We're like, holy shit. And this dude's huge, you know? So that's one of the memories I have of Mike Knox was watching him tear through a local competitor in Corpus Christi.
Where's he? And I remember him in Corpus Christi as well. I want to say it was ECW, and they were touring with SmackDown, I think, or maybe Raw. I don't remember who they were touring with, but they were on tour with them, this brand, right? So it was like two shows in one. And Mike Knox was with Kelly, and they had him in a glass cage, and he ended up getting out. It was a bunch of madness. But, you know, it was all right.
There was a gimmick where he became a fucking doctor in WWE.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Dr. Knox.
Dr.
Knox.
And then in
this is a guy who, like, I want you all to know that, like, this guy slipped through the cracks. Like, I have no idea who you're talking about. Don't recognize his face. I looked at his Wikipedia. I get that he existed in the company, but I've never fucking seen him before in my life.
Oh, dude, you must be from – you must be the Mandela effect right there. And you must have came from the universe where Mike Knox didn't exist.
Yeah,
I got it. I got the remedy for that. Do you remember he was in the Aces and Eights when he was in TNA? Do you remember that?
Yeah. No, now that you say that, I can picture him in the Aces and Eights.
And then he was in the Menagerie.
Hey, real quick, on that topic, there's a YouTube channel y'all should check out, where he just goes over, it's like TNA replay, and he just goes over old TNA, like, factions and groups and everything, and he summarizes them in, like, 10 minutes. I've been watching that, too. Y'all should check that out. I'm gonna come up with a new segment, Chuck, where I just suggest YouTube videos for y'all to watch.
I like that. I like that a lot. Anything you guys can do to help is greatly appreciated. So,
I think we're doing great.
We are. We're doing fantastic. But, you know, I love it.
Christian hasn't shit on anybody yet.
Oh, yeah. Well,
not yet.
Fantastic.
until Raw happens, where, you know.
There's a lot more to go, and I'm sure he will lose his shit momentarily. Let's see, more birthdays. Guys, let's see, July was full of birthdays. July 13th, Jake Christ, Jeff Jarrett. Yeah, we went through all those. Carlos Colon, Al Snow, July 18th. Yeah. Joey Mercury, July 18th. And we mentioned her earlier, Mandy Rose, July 18th, 1991. So she's like maybe 30 years old, I guess.
She looks good for her age.
Jeremy Borash, July 19th, and Jinder Mahal, also July 19th.
Horrible.
Adam Rose, July 20th. And so, yeah, that about does it for the birthdays, guys.
Yeah. What about birthday history?
And you know what? I had a feeling you were going to say that, Christian. And I've got a bunch of them lined up, and we went hella over with a bunch of great information that you guys brought up on a bunch of shit that, you know, was brought up. And, I fucking love it that you guys remember so much and stuff. But, guys, 6 years ago today, Sasha Banks, this is the NXT Women's Champion, Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Former NXT Women's Champion Charlotte and Becky Lynch all made their WWE main roster debuts. The three confronted the rest of the then Divas roster before all hell breaks loose. The Nine Ladies would be broken into trios. We had Team Bella, Team Bad, and the Submission Sorority, which was renamed Team PCB.
That was awful. That time was
But all
awful.
Three would be broken up by the end of the year. Less
that
than a year after their main rosters, the three would be in a featured bout at WrestleMania 32 for the reborn WWE Women's Championship. And do you guys remember who won that?
Yes, I do. It was Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Winner.
The queen.
The wrong winner. By the way, it was supposed to be. It should have been Sasha's time, but again, Charlotte Flair, because of her last name, she won. That's why. Wrong
man. It sucks that it wasn't Sasha, for me, because I was really hoping that it would be Sasha.
The fans were excited for it at WrestleMania. The fans were hyped. Snoop Dogg was fucking doing her entrance theme. It was her moment, but no, it was Charlotte, and people were fucking pissed off.
Mm-hmm. She was so badass back then. She was one of the most believable wrestlers back then. Sasha was like on top of the game. I don't know why I think of it that way. Like, it may not have been the case, but like at the time, the way I was watching wrestling, Sasha seemed like one of the best wrestlers ever. And so that has something to say. Like, that's the reason. Like, she's been in the main event several times. She I still think she's one of the best. But she just struggles with, like, direction, with, like, where they're going to send your character or whatever.
Yeah.
What character? Same character. She hasn't changed one bit.
I mean, the boss character is the strongest one. She just went back to the boss and did that. But, I mean, that's kind of Charlotte's character, the queen or whatever. Like, the boss and the queen are the same thing.
The only two out of the four horsewomen that actually changed their gimmick were Becky Lynch and Bayley. Those were the only two that actually fucking developed as people and characters. Sasha and Charlotte are the same fucking people since fucking NXT back then. They haven't developed
at all. I don't think Sasha should have the change is what I'm saying. I think that Sasha could get over as Sasha still. I think that, I mean, it's been fucking how many years? Fucking 8 years or something, right? But, like, I don't know. I think that that character can still get over and be, like, a contender. I think that Sasha just had shit like bad storylines and injuries thrown at her that stopped her.
So it was Charlotte, Becky, and Paige that were in a group.
I remember that. I was hot on all that shit. Like, I was watching. That was like the prime of my time of watching. Whenever that shit was going down.
Those were good
then
times.
Paige, for some reason, Paige turned heel for no reason whatsoever. I didn't understand it.
those were good times, but somewhere in the annals and in the archives of the World Generation Podcast Network, I'm sure you can still find me bitching about it here and there.
Dude, we definitely reviewed that shit. We were definitely doing the
same thing. We were, man. I mean, shit, we've been around for a while. Guys, that does it for this week in wrestling history. Like I said, I've got a bunch more stuff that we can hold off because I've got some other things that I want to talk about before we get to predictions, and we will do that when we come back on the other side of this break. So, guys, we'll be right back after these words on the Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. The World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there. Looking for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast, Season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Podcast.
People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
Yo, this is KVA West. You're listening to us live on the Fatal 4-Way Podcast. Coming to you Tuesday nights at 9 on the World Generation Podcast Network. You can check us out on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Planet. I'll be here every week being the mediator, the friendly babyface, the all-knowing, well, no, that's the Swami Christian, but I digress. Tune in every week at 9. We'll see you then.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Sinister. And guys, whose theme song is this? Anybody? Christian?
Is he from ECW?
No, it's a WWE.
Oh. Well, that's what I'm saying. Is he from ECWWE? I'm saying.
Maybe. I don't know.
Nail it.
What about this one? What about the last one I played? You guys have...
It's Mike Knox.
There you go. Is that the one Albert?
What's
that? Is that the one you were looking for?
That was the Mike Knox. That's the only Mike Knox theme from that time. But yeah.
I have no idea, man.
This is what it's like the world collide.
Yeah, it makes me want to punch a brick wall, man.
Very much like Power Man 5000.
Are you ready to go?
Right?
So what was up with that World Generation podcasting? Why did it play twice?
Yeah, what the fuck, Chuck? Come on.
I'll tell you what happened,
yeah,
man.
What was that?
Chuck was grabbing a beer, dude.
That's exactly what the fuck happened.
I got the fucking phone ring hanged up. That scared the shit out of me.
I thought that y'all hung up too. I was like, oh man.
No. Here's, you know what got hung up? My foot. My foot got hung up on the cord to my fucking to my fucking headphones. Okay, that I got plugged into my laptop here on my desk at my home studio. All right, this is exactly how it happened. And I was on my way to get a beer. I queued the promo in, was on my way to get a beer, but the fucking cord got caught up on my leg and shit, almost knocked the laptop off of the desk.
Well, Chuck, you know what? That happens again. I'm firing everybody, including myself. We're going to get a whole new cast and a whole new host, and we're just going to forget about it, all right? That's enough.
I'm down. We're all down. We're all down. Guys, I got a couple of things that I wanted to talk about news-wise.
Wait, hold on. Before you say that, who was that theme song you were playing?
That was Mike Knox.
No, the other one.
Oh, the other one? Oh, fuck, I done forgot. Holy shit, who was it? I can't remember. Oh yeah, it was Gregory Helms.
Oh, that's fucking generic. That was horrible.
Yeah, it was Gregory Helms. Here you go. Now, I mean, all I have is Gregory Helms, okay? Now, Albert could come up and say some shit like, oh, man, wasn't that the theme to Survivor Series 2011?
Yeah, they used it
at that point.
94.
And at that point, I'm like, I don't have no idea.
I honestly thought it was Kevin Thorne, the vampire guy in ECW.
That was also my high school graduation song, by the way.
Oh, really? I love it. All right, moving on, guys. I wanted to talk about something that we talked about it last week. Jimmy Uso with the DWI. Apparently, we're talking about maybe there's a question going around where maybe WWE is not taking action against Jimmy Uso due to plans with The Rock.
The Rock.
What I wanted to ask here, let's go to Albert. What kind of message is this sending? I mean, you know, clearly he has a problem with alcohol at this point. And seemingly WWE is sweeping it under the rug. Is that a good look, Albert?
You know, it doesn't really matter to them. And I'm going to tell you why. WWE portrays himself to be like this squeaky clean company now. And they claim to be doing all this stuff by the books, but fucking drug testing and everybody has to wear a suit to the arenas and dress nice and all this shit. You know what? When it comes down to it, the people that are actually running it are still the old school 1980s fucking carnies. And if somebody's making money, because they still have that in their blood, dude, you know they do. If somebody's making money like that, or like he's kind of a top guy, they're not going to do shit to him. They're like, oh, well, Vince McMahon, boys will be boys. You know what I mean? Like that type of shit. And, you know, this is coming from you know, producers and, you know, Pritchard's there and Vince McMahon's still there and all the old Kevin Dunn, everybody's still there. Those guys that were around during the fucking heyday of, like, the plane ride from hell and Rowdy Piper pissing off a fucking hotel balcony on some people. You know, those types of stories, dude. They don't give a fuck. They don't fucking care. They want him there to do the fucking job that he's supposed to be doing there. And
do
they're
you
gonna look the other way.
If a group of people made a rise out of it on Twitter,
do you think that would have an effect
on it, Christian?
Yeah,
too late.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's already happened. It's already fucking happened because I called it last week. You know who's going to suffer the most out of this is his wife. And guess what? Surprise, surprise, it already fucking happened because guess what? They kept harassing her about his fucking drunk ass, and now she's off of Twitter and Instagram because of his stupid ass. Congratulations, you fuck. You fuck.
Damn.
And to all those fucking assholes who make wrestling fans look fucking bad, that's why fucking people don't like wrestling fans. You make us fucking look bad, you motherfuckers. You make us all look bad. That's why the wrestling community is fucking toxic. You make the wrestling community look bad, you fucks. You make us look bad.
I have no idea, bro.
She got totally attacked for that. Like, yeah, she got attacked when they were saying that she's the one. Because I guess you pointed out that she was in the vehicle with him, like the last offense that he had. Like, he was when he got pulled over, she was in the car with him. So I don't know. They do seem to be brushing it under the rug. I don't think it's a good look. I don't think that it would have been a good look to address it on TV either, though. And they did it with Jeff Hardy. They addressed his alcoholism on TV like it was super low. I don't know. It's in bad taste. But, I mean, I think I am where I was last week. I think that they should have – the best move would have been to write Jimmy off TV and to just not have Jimmy come back for several more months too.
They should have
work around it.
Look what happened last week.
They have to WrestleMania to get back to it. So, yeah, I don't see why they couldn't,
Look what happened last week. Now both Usos look fucking terrible. Now they're both fucking goons. They're
definitely.
And we're going to get to that.
Jay is the one that deserves the spotlight.
He is. He's clearly the better worker. And we're going to get to more on the Usos, but I definitely wanted to touch on that. And I thank you guys for your opinion on that. I mean, I think it's insane that they're doing nothing to him. And first of all, they need to get him some fucking help before he goes out there and causes damage to someone. But that's another issue. And we'll see, and we'll keep you posted on that.
How many DWIs is that, man? He could be facing.
He's got two.
It's three.
He's got three.
It's three.
He has three now. This is his third one.
Wow.
It's not it's a serious thing. Like it is a serious thing that should be addressed. Like if WWE went through the steroids and all the enhancement bullshit trials, like this should be something that is addressed too. Like a wrestler having alcohol problems should be definitely nipped in the bud.
And you know what? You know what's hypocritical about this? You punish RVD for doing DUI when he was the double world champion, and you strip him of the titles. But you won't fucking punish Jimmy Uso, who's had...
Yeah, I mean...
Didn't RVD... RVD got pulled over with somebody else, like it was like a kayfabe thing, too,
Sabu.
Where RVD...
Sabu.
Yeah. And it was like they were fighting each other, and they shouldn't have been in the same car together, but they, like, gave away kayfabe because they both got, like, a fucking possession charge in the same vehicle or whatever.
Yeah, but
I'm not aware of that.
No,
it's a bunch of hypocrisy.
It was like they were wrestling each other, and they were touring, and they were riding in the same car together. So whenever they got pulled over, it like exposed that they weren't really wrestling each other, or that they were that it was fake. You know what I mean? Like it was like they weren't supposed to be riding in the car together.
It is,
and because they got pulled over, it like exposed them.
And I gotta say, Christian, they're acting like a bunch of Democrats. It's a bunch of hypocrisy shit. Look into it, and
all
you'll
right.
see. But I digress. Moving on. let's see. There was another thing that I really wanted to talk about, and actually a couple more things. But this one, man, I saw it today. Alexa Bliss reacting to a fan trying to body shame her.
Yeah, exactly. Again, just like the whole Naomi shit. Again, you people make wrestling fans look fucking bad. You're comparing her ass from NXT days in 2015 to an ass right now saying that she was fat. What the fuck is wrong with you people? Her ass looked great.
On top of that, like anybody that's an Alexa Bliss fan, if you're even ready to like critique Alexa Bliss, I would hope that you're an Alexa Bliss fan. And anybody that's an Alexa Bliss fan knows that she had fucking eating disorders and was a competitive bodybuilder and all the shit. So, like, her weight is, like, the thing. So, like, they attacked this, like, weak link in her arm, like, this weakest thing that they could find. They attacked this. And she fucking owned him, I think. Like, she made him look like shit on
It's despicable.
So, good for her.
It's despicable. I can't believe, you know, it's fucking crazy. I don't know. And we were talking about it last week, how she covers herself up and shit.
We have, okay, look, and on top of that, you have Alexa on TV. You have all these different body styles on TV, all these different body types. You have fucking Doudrop and Nia Jax and Tamina and fucking Naomi and like these women of different shapes and sizes. Like, fuck off for like being the guy that like picks somebody apart for this or whatever. Like, I don't know. We've touched on it. It's important to not be sexist when you're watching wrestling. Like, these chicks are now on the platform that men were 10, 15 years ago. And that's how it needs to be viewed. It doesn't need to be viewed like completely through lens of how hot they are. That does play a factor, but it doesn't need to be the main gauge that they're judged by.
And that's a great segment, Kevier, about, you know, and how you put it, not being sexist, but one has to question, moving to the next topic, Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair recently won the best WWE moment from WWE 2021 ESPY Awards.
Why?
Best WWE moment, Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair.
What were the runner-ups? What were the nominations? What taken the place of that?
Yeah.
Now, the article does not say.
Right. Oh, well,
wait,
sorry.
The other nominees were Edge winning the 2021 Men's Royal Rumble. Yeah, and that was, and then Bad Bunny teaming with Damian Priest at WrestleMania 37 and delivering bunny destroyer. I mean, that bunny
Those
destroyer.
Those are good runner-ups. I mean, these chicks won against some good runner-ups.
I'm sorry, but just because it was the first time ever that female singles match main event at WrestleMania, does that mean it deserved to win a fucking award? All right?
You think
I'm sorry,
a consolation prize?
I'm sorry, but fucking how can you win an award when you have Edge winning the 2020 Royal Rumble and you have a fucking celebrity who actually was a great wrestler, who actually did decent wrestling moves?
Right?
You heard
That's
it here.
That's not realistic.
To me, it would have been between those two.
Christian was
first.
A Big Bunny fan. You heard it here.
No,
likes Big Bunny. I don't even remember his name, Bad Bunny.
I'm not a fan of his, but I respect that he actually loved the business and he knows how to wrestle. He should have won the award. Not fucking Sasha Banks or Bianca Belair.
Hey, that's Kevin West. Hey, I'm going to let you finish, but just so y'all know, Edge had the best run in 2021. When Edge came in the Royal Rumble, you know, Edge should have won that match.
He did what?
No, I know. I'm making a Kanye joke because Kanye West. I was like, whatever. He interrupted Beyonce, or Beyonce should have won when he interrupted Taylor Swift. I'm gonna let y'all finish, but instead of Sasha Banks, you know, it should have been my boy, Bad Bunny.
It should have been Bad Bunny.
The joke flopped. I'm sorry. Don't listen to my joke. I'm sorry.
What do you think, Albert?
JVB. What did he say again? What is Bad Bunny saying again?
It's Flamey Peak.
That's awesome. Flamey Peak. Yeah. I agree. You know what?
No, you'll play with me.
Come no, I agree. He's playing with the music. Yeah.
The bunny.
I gotta give it to him. I actually want to see Bad Bunny in the ring again very soon.
I do too. I really do. I mean, I'm not even bullshitting on that. Kudos to him.
I think Sasha and Bianca deserved it. I don't think it was a bad match, and I think that they fucking earned it. Like, it is a big moment, and it's like a big moment in wrestling history. I think that it'll be like a thing where like 50 years later they'll be like, remember this, and it'll be like a big thing. Like we said, it's like a whole.
Yeah, but Bad Bunny deserves the award. I'm sorry.
So moving on, there's one last thing that I want to talk about before we go to the predictions. Stephanie McMahon was talking about their new sets and presentations for their live shows that they're doing. And they're going to have a new set design, a new presentation of our talents. She's saying, with different locations and arena setups. She says, we're going to be utilizing augmented reality in a way that in a way that we have never before. We experimented with it a lot during Thunderdome, but it is now going to be incorporated into our talent entrances. There's also going to be animated graphics. It's going to be so exciting and so different than anything we've done before. Guys, with all the talk of, you know, this and then, you know, the new sets going in, I mean, this sounds like it's going to start happening this Friday.
Boring. Boring. Bullshit.
Now,
augmented the fuck
reality,
about new sets?
Kevin, you said yes. What is your idea of augmented reality? And because they're going to be
like
utilizing.
They come in from, so when they say something like that, I pictured like, so instead of one entrance ramp, you know, AEW has two sides. They have the heel and the babyface entrance ramp. I think WWE might do like a 3 or 4 entrance ramp, like where there's like 3 or 4 different ways where you could enter. And then they have like the, you know, just like we've had the augmented reality, like the Roman Reigns CG guy who's doing the taunt, or like Asuka's masks floating and shit like that. Like, I think they'll do that. But no, I think that they might actually change like how they enter the arena, and that would be pretty badass. I don't know. Like, if they really, in any live arena, you only have one way you can come into the ring. So they can't really change that too much. They could split them up. They could put the commentary booth in the middle. But no, like, if they're going to change the way that the Raw set looks, I'm all for that, like, all the time. Like, every time they change the set, I'm a big fan of that. I want them to constantly like change the set and make it more badass and bigger. And the Thunderdome was cool, and we're saying goodbye to the Thunderdome. A lot of people hated it, but it was kind of cool. It was the best thing they could have done at the time. So I think that whatever they do moving forward will be badass too. I think they're just going to add more CG. They're going to make it different than AEW.
I think the Thunderdome was a really cool idea. You're right, Kevin. It was completely innovative that, like, you know, should have been done by at least, you know, all the major wrestling companies, just having the fans in attendance like that, you know what I mean? And I'm interested to see what they do to the set, you know what I mean? To me, like, a set kind of defines, like, the era, whatever era of wrestling we're in, you know what I mean? Like, we got, like, you know, I've always kind of looked at it like that, you know, along with the logo change.
Was the SmackDown fist? Yeah. It's the SmackDown fist, and it's the Raw's War.
Yeah,
stuff like
yeah.
that.
Wow, well,
yeah. That's what
well,
we
I,
like.
I do kind of wish they got. I kind of wish they got more into the actual set pieces as opposed to the digital set pieces. You know, if they could find a way to kind of like meld those two, then you know I'll be happy.
They could have the best set ever. It will not change the fact that the shows will still be trash. I do not give a fuck. You know how many new sets we've had the majority of months in the span of 2020 to 2021?
Yeah, they've changed it. Over the last, like, 4 years, it's changed, like, so many times. Like, if you were to look back just 4 years, it's changed a fuckload.
It's too many changes. This is fucking ridiculous now. It's ridiculous. They can have the best fucking set and the light shows ever, but that's not going to change the quality of the shows. It's bullshit. I don't trust what any McMahon says. They are liars. They said they're going to make the shows better. No, they haven't. They said they're going to shake things up again. What shake things up? Switch a bunch of wrestlers in different brands? So what? You're still going to make terrible storylines. Fuck, I don't trust whatever Stephanie McMahon says. I don't trust nobody in the room. They're all ass-kissers. They're all liars and ass-kissers. The worst wrestling company ever. The most unprofessional wrestling company ever.
So, guys, we've got a few minutes to burn through. Is there anything special going on in AEW?
Oh, just
can
one. Just one.
Just
one
thing? All right, well, let's burn
just
through
one.
It
real quick. And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly, with AEW Weekly.
Yes, one thing that was the most noteworthy thing that happened in AEW last week was the debut of Malakai Black, a.k.a. Tommy End, a.k.a. Aleister Black. That's
is
right.
Tommy
yes. Aleister Black.
So the JR, whenever he debuted, JR was like, who is it? Is it Tommy End? I don't know.
Malakai Black. You see, his gimmick is that he's an escape mental patient who killed two doctors to escape the mental asylum. And he's come to AEW to wreak some havoc. And he showed Bray Wyatt how to be fucking creepy and now how to over-example his fucking characters. Why can't Bray Wyatt do this, right? Why does Bray Wyatt have to fucking overcomplicate things in his fucking storyline? Huh? Malakai did it simple. It was creepy and it was effective. Why can't Bray Wyatt do his in his fucking
story? It was
story?
Me, Christian. It was me all along.
Fuck the mask. Fucking
Malakai doesn't need
a fucking clown mask. Malakai doesn't need fucking puppets or fucking a clown mask to be fucking terrifying. He literally killed two doctors in his promo vignette. That's fucking
he killed that guy. Killed that guy. That's fucked up.
It was great. It was fucking great.
They should just have, like, his debut match, like, a bunch of people come and, like, arrest him and take him back to the mental institution, like, before he can do the match, since he murdered
somebody. And also,
people,
disclaimer, we're talking about acting, all right? This isn't real life right now. Disclaimer, people. Just in case. Disclaimer. It's not real. Anyway, yeah, so Malakai debuted. He attacks Arn Anderson. Then he attacks Cody Rhodes. So that's going to be a great feud for Malakai to start off with against Cody. I already can smell that Malakai is going to be a big star in AEW. He's going to be the world champion soon enough. He's already a huge star.
You see what JR said about him? Supposedly, yeah. Like, behind the scenes, like, JR told him, like, hey, we're...
Did he call him somebody who wasn't?
No, he did do that live, but, no, like, supposedly behind the scenes, JR told him, like, hey, we're counting... I'm misremembering the quote, probably, but he was like, we're counting on you to do something big. And so, like, I that was, like, a post that was going around saying that, like, you know, Malakai is going to be a big character, a big player in AEW, not just a mid-card guy.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it develops.
The crowd was going mental. He succeeded. The crowd was going crazy. It was like the second coming of Stone Cold Steve Austin,
you know,
in the crowd.
The other dirt sheet that I saw today said that whenever WWE was planning to take the belt off of Brock, that it was between Drew McIntyre and Aleister Black, and that they were trying to choose between both of them with who was going to be the one to dethrone Brock, and that they chose Drew McIntyre. So that's how far back it goes for Aleister, is that he was, like, in WWE, like, people did believe in him, but they never pulled the trigger on him. And, you know, if you look at his career in WWE, he was always, like, in a powerful position, but he, like, never fucking really got to be what they said he was going to be, you know?
Yeah,
and
I was looking
through Aleister Black here today, actually, and there's some things that I want to get to, that I want to talk about Aleister Black. We'll do that next week. I want to bring up some things about this guy because, man, you're right, Kevier. His career, they just never pulled the trigger on him.
So, and like, it was kind of like a coin toss? It was like a coin toss between like, executives,
yeah,
WWE executives, and like, we're going to do Drew, we're going to do Black.
The sheet that I read said, are they going to, because if you think back in NXT, they were both in NXT at the same time or around the same time, and they were saying, who's going to be the one that we bring up to kill Brock?
His promos are a lot far more entertaining to me than fucking McIntyre. Oh, my God.
He could have done it. Like, Aleister, if they booked him right, he could have killed Brock. You know, like,
I believe so.
I wouldn't go that far. It wouldn't be realistic, to be honest.
Well, it's
speculation. It had to have been how you book it. Like, Brock would have had to have been booked really weak against the super kick. They would have had to make it about the kick. And, like, the kick was going to catch Brock, and Brock would have fallen to the kick. I think.
What were those,
you know what I mean?
Those promos that he was doing, like, in his final days in WWE? Well, I mean, it almost seems like
the dark
promos were like his AEW run or something. You know what I mean?
I didn't understand what the fuck they were going with it. His story kept changing every chapter. Like,
so there
first
was
he was like,
there was interesting stuff in the Dark Father promos. He was talking about stuff that, like, happened in NXT. Like, he was giving all these allusions to shit that happened, like, in the past. And then whenever he made the video for the debut to AEW where he killed the doctors, like, if you look at the clocks in the video, like, the first clock is, like, June 2nd is the day he got released. And then the next release date is like,
and then he was talking to a guy named Matthew, who we know
Matthew
is Buddy Murphy's real name.
Buddy Murphy, yeah. So there's, like, things where Aleister came out, like, after he got fired, he was on Twitch on Zelina's channel. He came on Zelina's channel and, like, did a Twitch shoot where he, like, talked about his release. And he said that he, like, left all these Easter eggs for people in his promos.
Man, that's pretty
and
fucking
so now,
creative.
Everything that we can expect from Aleister Black, everything that you could get from Aleister Black or Tommy End or Malakai Black, as he's now known, like, is very well thought out. I think that guy is, like, really webbing his character and, like, making, like, this fucking deep character as much as he can.
I think the whole Asylum the vignette is supposed to make it seem like the whole WWE thing never happened.
WWE was the Asylum. It was in his head. Yeah,
yes,
he was, like, stuck in there.
It never
happened. Damn it, I love
with
it.
Him. He, he got in an altercation with another patient. Yeah, that was Matt. Yeah, and they were both there.
Yeah, Buddy Murphy was in asylum too. Like he never had.
Oh,
a
man!
Like, and you know what? That was all personally funded. Like that guy had that video made before he was with AEW. Like he made that. He put the work in to like give us a little bit of fucking character like that. And it reminds me of Brody Lee. Whenever he came to AEW, it reminds me of characters like it. Like there's definitely times where this is that kind of charm that AEW has, where it can like really carry somebody.
And, you know, he's like a brother-in-law to me, this guy, Aleister Black. But we'll see how that develops more. You know, he's married to my cousin.
I know who you're rooting for in the women's Money in the Bank ladder match.
She wasn't even on TV last week. So there goes her comeback.
But now it's time for the...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE report. Swami?
So I'm going to spare the details. I'm not going to talk about the whole Usos and Roman Reigns thing because we now know that the Usos are fucking goons. They're both ruined in the storyline now. They're both ruined. The most important thing was that they found the replacement for Bayley. The whole Money in the Bank match, because it was supposed to be Bayley versus Bianca in an I Quit match. Instead of it being in the pay-per-view, it's going to happen this week on Friday, and it's going to be the lamest selection, Carmella, against Bianca for the women's title on SmackDown.
But wait a minute, Carmella's a two-time champion. She's beat fucking Bayley. She's beat them all.
I don't care.
Liv Tyler got the future title shot, right?
Liv Morgan's in the briefcase match. She replaced Carmella.
Liv Morgan gets the next title match, is what they said.
Yeah. No, if she wins the briefcase.
Oh, I see.
But still, it's a lame selection. Nobody cares. But that also means that the poster is false advertisement, because guess who's in the poster for Money in the Bank? Bianca. She's in the fucking poster, and she's not going to be on the fucking pay-per-view. So that's false advertisement for people who are fans of Bianca, because maybe that's the only reason why they want to watch the pay-per-view in the first place. So there you go. False advertisement.
That's a good point. You're right. I'd be pissed off about that. They should never show somebody that's not on the card. They should never show, like, even if the guy's on their roster, whatever, they should never show somebody that's not on the card on their promotional shit.
Yep, so that's false advertisement. So
who wins the match?
Okay, none. The match didn't happen yet. I'm saying this coming Friday is going to happen. I'm just saying that Carmella was announced to be the replacement last week.
Yeah.
So on Raw was terrible. There was one good thing on Raw, but other than that, it was a horrible go-home show. A whimper for the Thunder.
Eva Marie's interaction with Alexa, that was the good thing
on
Raw?
No, that was great.
That was horrible. But I'll get to that. Anyway.
Speaking about Alexa Bliss, did we talk about how some fucking asshole was fucking critiquing her body? I mean, get the fuck out.
It was you.
I will fucking...
It was you.
I saw this guy.
Yeah, we said that already.
Okay,
All right, so the show starts with a match between Bobby Lashley versus Xavier Woods. Nothing great will come with the fucking champion of your roster, your brand...
Opening
the show and losing clean in the go-home show of a pay-per-view.
Yeah. That's a damn shame.
What a good booking.
You know,
even though... Yeah?
I'm the babyface. I should love the New Day. I should be 100% behind them. Fuck these guys. Bobby Lashley and MVP need to, like, stomp these guys out. I am not behind the New Day on this feud. It's bullshit how Bobby Lashley got rolled up.
It makes Bobby Lashley look like
shit.
It makes him look like a schmuck.
they take all the work that they've done, like and it's not much. They haven't done a whole lot of work on Bobby Lashley, but they built him up, and now they're going to fucking cut his legs out like this. And I hate that.
It makes him look terrible.
But he's going to win at the pay-per-view. I mean, so.
I know he's going to win, but you shouldn't have your champion lose twice in 2 weeks. Shouldn't do that. But no-no. A huge no-no. So next came stupidity, right? The Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre shit is so stupid. Jinder
out.
Fucking
I'm
Jinder,
out.
Yeah. Jinder breaks.
Oh please, will you stop?
Jinder breaks Drew's sword, the family sword, and somehow Drew McIntyre switched the sword with a fake sword that was never really explained.
Yes.
Never explained. He breaks Jinder's bike. Wow, what a good feud for a SummerSlam match, huh? What a great feud.
This is so lazy. This is so horrible. And it was so bad that it made me laugh. Like, I was cooking. I was in my kitchen. I was watching Raw on the tablet. I was cooking, and I saw Jinder have the sword, and he was like, hey, we redecorated your sword. We got your sword reupholstered or something like that. And I was thinking maybe he, like, put, like, the flag on it or something. Like, maybe he was, like, reupholstered the sword. But, no, they broke it. And when he showed the broken sword, I was like, oh, my God, no. I marked out, like, I saw that the sword was broken. No. And then Drew was like, that was a replica, mate. And he, like, threw the real sword over his shoulder. And I'm like, this is so fucking cheesy, dude. And I had to call my wife into the room. And I was like, look at what's happening. Look at. And Drew's, like, ripping the motorcycle apart. I'm like, no, don't break the plastics, Drew. He's just breaking the plastics off, like the cheapest shit you could break on the bike.
And to fucking find out, and then tonight, imagine a slap in the face for me tonight to find out that it could have been fucking Aleister Black instead of this fucking fuck.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre. Holy shit.
No, I mean, I'm coming from a place where, like, I'm a fan of Drew, but I see what they're doing. I heard the promo that he cut on Raw where he talked about being a fucking mythical dragon or whatever the fuck it was.
Dude,
and, like,
go back and
all
listen to the two or three promos even before that.
No,
they're all
fucking bad.
Shit. I was like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
They're fucking Drew up big time. I don't know what they're doing.
I know this fucking weed
is not going to work.
It's good, but goddamn, Drew.
Somebody doesn't like Drew McIntyre backstage. Somebody does not like this.
You know what? Typical WWE bullshit. And this is what I was talking about a long time ago. It's like they fucking just fuck everything up. This is a match that fans have been hoping for a long time. I don't know. I'm on the side of Jinder Mahal. They're saying, oh, WWE just needs an Indian guy to work in there. But because of it goes back to the whole three-man band thing, the fucking fulfilling the fucking, you know, whatever the fuck prophecy. It's just, if a lot of people have been asking, I mean, not asking, but it's not like
there's a story to
like
be told. There's a story between Jinder and Drew, yeah.
If it was done correctly, not like this shit that's going on now, it would mean so much more at SummerSlam that the fans would actually be invested in it that don't really, you know, fucking, you know, that wouldn't really give a fuck about Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if they just did it correctly, like play on the fact that they were former best friends, that they struggled in the fucking mid-card obscurity for years, that they fucking whipped their asses off to come back. And now here they are about the fucking two former friends about to fucking collide that had pretty much the same fucking story about to fucking collide. That would fucking sell pay-per-view like a motherfucker. But instead they're doing this stupid shit. And Jinder Mahal, unfortunately, is probably going to go back to obscurity for a little bit after this. And Drew McIntyre is going to go back to doing stupid fucking promos. And it fucking sucks. Like, why can't they just fucking do it right? Why? Why?
Yeah, yeah.
And now,
oh, you're right.
Now we go to more stupidity. We have Alexa Bliss and this fucking terrible gimmick. I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. This gimmick fucking awful.
It's not
edgy no more, dude. There's nothing edgy about it. She's not doing anything crazy with it.
I'm starting to get
the
hang of
nothing.
It. It's totally different.
It's irritating you.
Now we're at a point where we're at a point now where we're so far away from the Fiend that, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not connected to the Fiend anymore. And then even Lily, like, they don't, she hasn't talked about Lily. And, like, it just, they've moved away from all that. Like, I think that, like, the scary, the horror vibe and, like, the Fiend vibe, all the rub that was coming off of that stuff is gone now.
What powers does she have? She does not have anything.
I like Lily is not even scary. She's kind of cute.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Now it looks like they're going for a feud between her and Eva Marie. Get the fuck out of here. That's worth SummerSlam? That's worth SummerSlam? Her against Eva Marie? Are you kidding me? Next one.
That's a really funny matchup, dude. Just real quick, like, that's what, I like that segment with Doudrop and, like, the match. It's really funny. The Doudrop and Eva stuff, like, this shit was, and it's, like, ironically, like, it's a fucking, what's the worst word, like,
I'm telling you, man.
There's like
I'm
a,
starting to
there's
get
like
a thing for this Doudrop. Starting to have a thing
but
for
no,
Doudrop, man. They fixed her up a
little
different.
Ass, dude. Just
fixed her up a little.
In terms of wrestling, in terms
they fixed
of wrestling,
her up a little
Doudrop
different
is like
this
a badass.
Week, man, and, I mean, she looked really good out there.
I only care about Doudrop. I don't give a fuck about Eva Marie.
But not, yeah, hey, look, man, I'm not to take me anything away from Naya, though.
Naya.
I love me some Naya.
She wasn't even on TV last week. Wasn't even on last week. So then we go to this 404 women's match, the Money in the Bank participants, right? Oh, I'm sorry, a triple threat match because Alexa Bliss did fuck all in that match. All she did was just a DDT, and then Eva Marie came out, distracted Alexa Bliss because Alexa Bliss is booked like an idiot, and then she gets thrown into the barricade. She disappears, and that's the last time you see her throughout the entire match. It becomes a triple threat match, and you know what? The fucking match became great when she wasn't in the match. When Alexa Bliss wasn't in the match no more, the match became good. It was actually good towards the end. The three wrestlers, Nikki Cross, Asuka, and Naomi, they delivered a great triple threat match. And it was a fatal four-way. It sucked.
Oh,
you see
my
the
gosh.
Problem there? You see the problem there?
So what's the problem?
The problem is Alexa Bliss sucks as a wrestler. She sucks. But when she was out of the equation, the match was actually good. Good spots, good movements. All of them were fast-paced.
I think Alexa Bliss is one of the best personalities that they've had on Raw in, like, a long time. And, like, they want to harbor this personality. They want her to be, like, a face on Raw. And I think that, like, that's what separates Alexa from the other wrestlers, is that she is more of a face of Raw than, like, you know, when we had the authority angles and stuff like that, we'd talk about who's the face of the company. I think Alexa, even in this angle, is more like that kind of person.
Yeah,
and so that's why she's allowed to get away with more shit than the other chicks, and like to have this freedom with her character and stuff.
Until Nikki Cross came along and she became a superhero. So there you go. Until Nikki Cross came along.
Oh, that gimmick sucks, dude. The whole like
it's,
every time she has to explain it and be like, "I'm almost a superhero." I hate that, dude. It's like it's wearing thin on me, and I'm 100% babyface. I am very much hating Nikki Cross
to wear
almost
thin
superhero.
On me. And, you know, at this point, really, I only like to watch it because I like to, you know, I like her outfit. And I like the way it fits on her and, you know, that type of thing.
The story that I cooked up for this was like, so you have her when she won a bunch of matches and she became this almost a superhero. Like, she had this confidence and it made her, like, almost a superhero. So now she's, like, wearing the gimmick and she's, like, doing the matches. What if she started losing all of a sudden, like, every match? Like losing really hard, and then that
you know
like
she
a
will.
Super, like a super villain, you know, like so she like all of a sudden like her confidence goes down, and it makes her fucking super villain instead.
Yeah,
villainess.
So we go to the next match. I'm sorry, this is not a fucking match. Sheamus versus the cockroach Humberto Carrillo in a throwaway U.S. title match. that was 4-0 because Sheamus beat them up before the match, and then when the match happens, ends in a few seconds. One bro kick, that's it. Wow, what a waste of everybody's fucking time. This has got to be the worst U.S. title reign Sheamus has ever gotten. He's doing nothing with this title. And the poor guy, I can't blame the poor guy, because the poor guy got his nose fucking broken, and he had to be off TV. And now he has the stupid mask gimmick that they're doing with him because his nose got broken. I feel bad for this guy. I honestly do. Fucking Sheamus has been putting on great matches as of lately in 2020.
He's always put on great matches, though. He has always been a great fucking worker, regardless of the shit they fucking give him. Even when they had him fucking out there as a baby face and shit. His match is always good.
Hall of Famer.
I feel bad what's happening to him right now. This is disastrous. This U.S. title run is disastrous. I feel bad. Disaster.
He looks dope. The mask looks cool on him. I hope that he keeps that for a while.
I knew he was going to turn it into, yes, I knew he was going to turn it into a, you know, a gimmick and shit. And it'll probably stick around for a little while. I don't see why it wouldn't. I mean, he's going to do it. They all do it. Look at fucking Orton's dad. He had that fucking cast on. He's the one that started that shit. Had that cast on forever and shit.
Yeah, well, they can't treat this like it's a new gimmick because we saw Cody Rhodes done it years ago. So this is not a new gimmick.
Yeah.
But it's not dashing. It's different. It's definitely different. It's more like chicken shit deal.
What Stone Cold Steve Austin has to say about
it. What? Shit. Tell you what, Chuck, I'd go out there, I'd put my knee brace on, I'd waddle out there to the ring, waddling my broken neck left and right, all fucking willy-nilly, and I'd chug a few Steve Weisers in the middle of the ring, buddy. I tell you what, you stupid son of a bitch, look me in the eye when I'm talking to you.
Nice. Oh my God.
So
that's bad. Yeah. So go ahead, Christian.
So up next, it's been confirmed that the Raw tag titles that was supposed to be defended next week through a live crowd on Raw has now moved up to the pay per view. So that's good for the predictions. But up next we have AJ Styles versus Ivar the Fat One.
Wait a minute. We don't need to talk about that. If anything, we need to spend this time on fucking talking about why wouldn't they fucking put Humberto Carrillo over? I mean, it's a perfect opportunity to fucking... No, he's not boring. He's a young kid. He could be a fucking... How do you know?
I've heard I heard this guy talk through promos. The guy's boring, bro.
He's in WWE. He's like miles ahead of a lot of guys. If he's in WWE, he's got to be good, right?
I mean, I'm just saying, put the fucking light on him. Unless if he's reached his glass ceiling, I mean, fuck, but you can't get no more out of him? I mean, goddamn, at least fucking take it to a pay-per-view or something. Dude, he fucking buried the shit out of him right then and there.
Well, that's unfortunate, but, you know... It happens.
They've been doing it to a bunch of guys on the roster. They have a whole roster of jobbers where they make us think that they're not jobbers, but then they job out to everybody. Ricochet is the king of them. Muhammad fucking I'm sorry, I can't think of his last name.
Mustafa Ali. So it was Ivar versus AJ Styles. The fat one, you know, with the beard and the hair, the big fat one. It was okay, I guess. It was nothing worthwhile. It was just like a few minutes. But the next match afterwards was Omos and fucking Eric. Holy fuck, this was garbage. Omos could barely fucking move.
Man, I know, dude. What the fuck is this shit? You know how I was talking about
debut match.
We have to, give them a break. I was recently talking about, you let them roll with Rhea Ripley was my example. Holy shit, dude. Rhea Ripley is light years ahead of this fucking Omos.
This guy,
no, really,
fucking
if you guys think
fuck.
Rhea Ripley
yeah, no,
is bad,
right.
Holy shit, Omos, I mean, god dang, dude. It was terrible.
Dude, he's Braun Strowman is better than fucking Omos.
Oh, hell, Mike. Yeah, hell yeah. Braun Strowman's badass.
Braun Strowman's a top talent. Braun Strowman should have been fired.
Yeah, man, what are you talking about?
This shit was garbage. Omos barely moved in the middle of the ring. Eric was doing nothing. This was crap. This was shit. This was awful. Fuck this already. I'm done with AJ and
all right,
being
well,
the tag.
You're done with it. Let's get to the predictions.
All right. Yeah. So yeah, let's get to the predictions. Who gives a fuck about the rest of Raw, to be honest?
For real.
What?
No, I mean, it was cool. I've been watching way more wrestling. I watched all of this week's wrestling, and there was stuff that, like, I watched Raw with, like, tongue-in-cheek. Like, it was still really funny. Like, it's funny to me that they're doing the shit that they're doing. And that's enough for me to keep watching it, honestly. Like, I don't know. Like, so I got no complaint as far as wrestling
yep.
goes right now. Like, wrestling
guess
is good.
Who's on
if you
the
like
poster.
WWE. AEW's good, WWE's good. They both have stupid ass storylines going right now. It's all good.
Guess who's on the poster for Money in the Bank?
I just said Bianca Belair.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, she's on the poster. Actually, I think it looks good. She's
not on the
got her fingers up like money.
She's not on the pay-per-view.
She's not on the pay-per-view?
No, I just said this.
Oh, yeah.
I just said that this week she's facing Carmella for the title, so she's not in the pay-per-view. So it's false advertising.
It's been moved from my understanding is that it has been moved to the pay-per-view.
No.
But we'll check it out. I mean,
if they do that, that makes no sense because they announced that it was going to happen on TV. It was going to happen this Friday where live crowds were on SmackDown.
Man, if that happens, do you think that Fox will be pissed off? I'm looking
yes,
for it right now,
off,
but I could swear that I've seen
yes,
something on that.
Angry.
I know, right? What a slap in the face that would be.
All right, so we go to predictions, right?
Yeah, do we have all the matches, or is there something missing from SmackDown that we might find out?
Well,
right now there's 6 matches that I have here in front of me, Christian.
Yeah, we have 6 matches. Yeah.
Go ahead
the IC champion is not on the fucking card because fuck the IC title, right? So
that's wild.
Yeah.
Albert, are you with us?
So the first match is the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match between Nikki Cross, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Naomi, Liv Morgan, for some reason Natalya, the tag champion. I don't know why she was added to this match. I don't know why. And someone who's supposed to be probably revealed on Friday, SmackDown, because the last spot is not filled yet, but I'm pretty sure, I bet you 10-1 is going to be Sonya Deville. I don't know why. But, yeah.
She's been in the news, so it's probably going to be her or Carmella.
No, Carmella's in the title match on Friday, SmackDown.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, so you're right, Sonya Deville.
Yeah. So, who do you guys have to win this?
I'm going to go with the dark horse and go with Sonya Deville.
That's if she's in it.
You know what? Give me 2 points if she's in it and she wins. How about that?
All right.
Yeah. I think Alexa Bliss was saying, like,
Like, imagine all the fun I could have if I won. I think she'll win.
Oh, man, okay. You got me thinking. Damn, you got me thinking, too. What do you think, Christian? One. Albert? Where the hell is Albert? Is he even here? Is he on 610, or is he on his way to Austin?
Whoa. I'm still here.
Well, who do you pick?
Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, buddy. Who's the winner?
I didn't even see the lineup.
I just said the lineup.
I don't have it in front of me.
All right. I'll repeat it again. All right. It's Asuka, Naomi, Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, Natalia, for some reason, and a mystery participant who probably is going to be revealed on SmackDown this Friday. So who do you pick, Albert?
You know what? And you know, people usually go for, like, the heels, you know, when this thing, because, you know, I think that a heel always makes a better, you know, Money in the Bank winner. I think we've said that before, or maybe, you know, somebody said that before, but I'm going to have to – it seems that they're trying a lot of stuff for, like, Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, but I see Alexa Bliss taking it, man. I really do, and just yeah. Using that as a prop and maybe having, like, a special fucking hand-painted case of something spooky or something. I don't know, but I guess we'll
mm-hmm.
see.
Okay, you pick Alexa Bliss. Kevin picks Alexa Bliss, right? And then Chuck picks Sonya. Well, I'm gonna go even crazy, boys. I'm gonna go crazy. I'm gonna pick Sasha Banks.
Damn. Why? What's the story?
Because she never got her rematch against Bianca Belair, and she's gonna return for the Money in the Bank, and she's probably gonna win it.
That makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, the next match will be the men's briefcase match between Seth Rollins, Big E, Kevin Owens. Who else is in this match? I'm trying to think. Ricochet, John Morrison, Matt Riddle, and Drew McIntyre. Who do you say wins that match?
Hey, but did you mark down Minister's prediction? You said you had
Chuck.
Yeah, you
said Sonya. You said Sonya.
No, Chuck said Sonya. Minister is saying Alexa Bliss.
What the hell? You can't get two votes.
I'm going to find a way to win this shit somehow, damn it.
You can't get two votes. You pick Sonya. You stick with Sonya.
What about the resident heel?
All right, so- All right. So who you guys pick for the men's?
Kevin, go ahead.
Oh,
you go.
I would love for Matt Riddle to win this match.
So.
I would love for Matt Riddle to win this match. I want Matt Riddle to win this match more than anybody else in this match. I want for Matt Riddle to be the next WWE champion because I think it would be funny as fuck. But
Matt Riddle has to win.
But
he's in the uh-oh. Tag team with Randy.
But
yeah, he's not in this match.
And you know what?
No, Randy's not in this match. Don't worry.
He's not.
No,
but
Matt.
Stay tuned.
Matt's in the match. Matt Riddle is in the ladder.
Matt Riddle's in this match, but he's probably not winning.
We're about
in the tag
to go off
Randy.
The air, guys.
I got you.
We're about
I'm
to
saying,
go off
I,
the air.
I,
and so when we do, we're gonna come back though. Right after these words, and we're going off the air.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
we're back, guys. Whose theme song is that? Whose theme song was that? Real quick.
That was Sonya's, Sonya Deville.
This theme song?
Yeah.
Right here?
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I have it as? Man, I have this theme song as Murphy. WWE Murphy.
Oh, so it is Murphy, yeah. They both sound the same.
Do they sound the same, or is it a rehash?
It's all these music sounds the same.
That song was also used on a Japanese fried chicken restaurant commercial back in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
Fuck out of here.
I remember that.
You guys wait until after the fucking show goes off the air live to bring the comedy out, really?
So what are your picks for the men?
No, so I would, you know, in a perfect world, I would hope that Matt Riddle would win this match, and it would be really funny. But no, I think that they're going to do Drew. I think they're going to do Drew.
Stop it.
Well,
no.
I'm going to pick Drew.
Who's saying that right now, Kevin or?
Kevin. I'm picking Drew. All right.
Oh, God, no. Tell me why. Dude, real quick, you got to tell me why.
I mean, I just think that they've gone all in on him so far, and I think that they're still gonna push. I think that that's a reason why they've had him still in the main event picture. That they're gonna.
I mean, they fired Aleister Black. Albert, you got Drew McIntyre?
Yeah, but that's not because I'm copying Kevin. Okay, not because he said something that made kind of sense, but you know. I just see it happen. I just see that being the only outcome as of right now. Even though I'm not even like really seeing the product because they said they pissed me off. That just seems like the only logical outcome from what I've been reading and hearing from everybody else.
What about you, Chuck?
Well, I gotta go. It's interesting that none of you guys chose Big E.
Is it?
It is, because, you know, I don't know. I just think it just feels like he's in line for something maybe, but at the same time, because it does feel like he's in line for something. I see a lot of chatter and stuff. And it's the fingers always point at Big E, okay? However, to me, I don't really see it. But, you know, it's because of that I would have to go with Big E, because it seems like they always fuck me on this shit.
Just said, yeah, I'm picking Big E for you. And I'm also picking Big E because when the draft happens, he's going to go after Bobby Lashley for his fallen brothers, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods.
And, I mean, I don't know how much more I'm going to like that, because we're going to have a guy shaking his ass, big overgrown guy shaking his ass.
He doesn't do that no more.
Moving his fucking hips.
He doesn't do that no more. He doesn't do that no more. All right, up next we have the added Raw Tag Title match between the Viking Raiders and AJ and Omos. I think we can all say for certain that AJ and Omos is fucking retaining, because they're not going to have fucking the Viking Raiders win this.
Yeah, I agree. Put me down for AJ.
Same here.
Okay.
It'd be an upset if they did. It'd be so stupid. Like, the Viking Raiders, I'm a Ray Rowe fan. Like, I love this guy Ray Rowe because he was my indie guy down here. But, like, dude, the Viking gimmick is dead. Quit pushing this Viking Raiders bullshit. Like, this is a stupid gimmick just like this.
Dude, they don't even look like Vikings anymore. They look like Vikings and Raiders and shit when they first came out. Now they look different. They look like more like S&M
guys. It got over on the Indies, and it was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago that it was over on the Indies. Like, quit this gimmick and just let them be Ray Rowe and Eric or Ivan or whatever his name is. I don't know what the guy's name is. It's like Hansen was his name before he was this guy.
Let them be the War Raiders again.
Yeah.
So what about you, Albert, for AJ and all that?
Yeah, I want to say that too, and just to comment on that, yeah, it was over. The Viking gimmick was over, and then it just seems like WWE just turned it into one of their fucking cartoony things, and that's where it's at right now, and it really sucks. But, yes, to
okay,
move on, I would digress
right
there.
All right, so the next match would be Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte. I don't give a fuck about this feud. We all know Charlotte's now winning this fucking title back, so Rhea?
I got Rhea.
All right.
They're going to ship Charlotte off to...
I don't know.
It's a tough one, dude. I think Charlotte wins this time.
They can't ship her off yet because it's until October now,
yeah,
the draft.
I got to go Charlotte.
I think Charlotte wins this time. Put me
down
for Charlotte.
Yeah, it changes everything. The draft, you know, yeah, it changes everything, man. The draft moving to October, there's no way Charlotte's going to lose to her again.
I don't know. What about you, Albert?
Fuck. So that's going to make Charlotte 14-time champion?
Already?
What about you, Abby?
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here and just say Rhea.
She's already a 13-time champion. Is she not?
I think she is.
I'm gonna look it up right now. It's fucking ridiculous.
I honestly don't give a fuck who wins, to be honest. But I'm gonna pick Rhea. Because I think Becky Lynch is going to come back and face Rhea for the title. I don't want to see fucking Becky Lynch versus Charlotte for the title again. I don't want to see that feud again. I'm done with that feud. I'm so sick of that feud.
Yeah.
Fucking waste of my time. All right, so then... Hold on, I don't know what else was in this fucking card. It was supposed to be Bianca Belair, but that was taken out. So the next match will have to be Edge versus Roman Reigns for the Universal title. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm just going to write all their names to be Roman Reigns. I'm not wasting any of our time here because it's fucking predictable as fuck what's going to happen. Rollins is going to fucking interfere, cost Edge, and that's going to be the WrestleMania match. So I'm not wasting anybody's fucking time putting all for us for Roman.
Jesus.
Damn.
I'm not wasting anybody's time.
That's fucking hilarious.
Damn.
I mean, how can you not? How can you
it's
not?
Fucking obvious. Rollins is gonna fuck Roman. Rollins is gonna fuck Edge over, and that's gonna be their SummerSlam match. So fucking obvious. Who gives a fuck? And then, I don't know what the sixth match is. I don't know what else is in this card. Let me check real quick.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna argue with that, though. I think it put me down for Roman, for sure.
Oh, yeah. He already did. He was serious, bro. Really.
I agree, though.
Do you guys remember this one, though?
I thought Irishmen had potatoes. It looks like you just smuggling some tater tots. Tater
Fucking Roman Reigns. That was the promo on Sheamus.
Oh yeah, the last match is Kofi Kingston versus Bobby Lashley. Again, I'm not fucking wasting anybody's time. I'm putting fucking Lashley's name in all of this. I'm not wasting anybody's fucking time and effort. Because again, it's fucking predictable. We'll be fucking winning. Putting Lashley's name in all of us. And that's it.
It is.
What a good card. We basically know who's going to win.
It's dark times right now for WWE, man. What era is this comparable to, guys? Like fucking early 90s?
It's a weird time. Yeah. I don't know. We're on the brink of like a change, though. It's about to change a lot. When the COVID WrestleMania happened, like we're at the end of that. Like we're about to come out of that. And it's going to be a new era again. This is the post-COVID era we're coming into. So it's going to be really cool.
It's a post-Cena era too. I mean, the Cena era pretty much ended right when COVID started. So it's like, you know, they lost their Hulk Hogan and they're scrambling to find... Not scrambling to find anybody because they think that their guys are Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns. So they've got their guys, but they just need to make them fucking work. And, storyline-wise and promo-wise, they're not doing shit Drew McIntyre right now.
What a good card this is. The only match that I give a fuck about is the Money in the Bank men's match. That's the only match I give a fuck about.
Makes you fucking miss John Cena, huh?
First, and also I heard rumors that Brock Lesnar might not show up at SummerSlam anyway. They might not get him. I heard rumors that they might not get Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam after all.
Who?
Brock Lesnar.
No, they're going with Cena, dude.
I'm talking about for SummerSlam with Bobby Lashley.
It wouldn't be worth.
Don't bring Brock back just to lose. Like, don't bring him back for just one match. Like,
no.
Brock would have to come back and like take control for another 2 years. Like, all right. I feel like that's the only course of action. Like, if Brock comes back, he would just run through everybody again.
You want fucking Goldberg to face fucking Bobby Lashley then?
No, you know who I
want
to be.
No, I want John Cena. I want John Cena to come back. I'm ready for Cena.
He's facing Roman. I'm talking about for Lashley.
You know who I wanted to be?
Who?
Nobody. Nobody knows who I wanted to be. But I'll tell
you. Who you wanted to be?
I'll tell you who I wanted to be. I wanted to be fucking this guy. God damn it, man. The world would fucking light up, dude. I mean, it would be wrestling again.
Imagine the promo. Imagine Bobby Lashley says, you were shit in the UFC.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It needs to happen at the Rumble. It needs to happen at the Rumble. And you know he's thinking about it, dude. Now, you can't say that CM Punk doesn't have the bug still in him, but... It has to happen at the Royal Rumble. Like number 30, dude.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm ready for it. I've talked a lot of shit about CM Punk, man, but you know what? It's all forgiven. It's all water under the bridge. Because you know what? Eventually, everything goes away, you know? And you got to let
even
shit go.
They give him to Rollins, man. Him and Rollins have been going back and forth. They've been teasing it. Back and forth a couple of years back on Twitter, you know, and and have him go in there and he just had to fucking win. Just have him take out Rollins and they both go out, and then that's set up WrestleMania right there.
See who's more punk rock.
I mean, the FKT, by the way, shout out to the fabulous Kitty Teixeira. But yeah, the FKT and I have been watching old episodes where CM Punk, and man, I mean, she's like, man, this guy was gold. You know, he was great compared to anything going on right now. CM Punk comes in, everybody's marking out. And sales go through the roof again. You know he's going to sell the shit out of some new T-shirts, merch. I mean, at this point, he's the only one that can come in and legit make a fucking impact. Do you agree?
Bro, fuck WWE. CM Punk shows up in AEW. The world explodes.
Oh, my God.
So, like, okay, so you have just like a situation, the same situation like you had last week where Malakai Black came out to the ring, where the lights went dark and fucking he's in the ring and he kicks him. So you do the same thing, but instead it's CM Punk and he's up on the stage and he sits down Indian style. He sits down Indian style on the ring and he cuts a pipe bomb promo. And he talks shit about the last 10 years of wrestling. And then he fucking debuts in AEW. And he says, you know what? Fuck all y'all. And he calls out Cody Rhodes or whoever, like Kenny Omega. He calls out Kenny Omega. He's like, you say you're the best in the world. You have all these belts. I'm the best in the world. Boom.
Oh,
and
my
who else
God.
Is with it? And with CM Punk, you know, there's got to be AJ Lee joining him too, you know?
More than WWE return, Kenny Omega versus CM Punk sells way more tickets, I think.
Man, that's a great story, bro.
CM Punk AJ Lee.
God. Wow. So, yeah.
But no, we can fantasy book CM Punk's return all the time. It's like I think it's not time. I think that he's still gonna wait. Like honestly, I think he'll wait like 3 to 5 more years, and then he'll do something.
Burst my bubble, why don't you? Have we taken this show through its course, or is there more show left?
No, that's about it. I gotta go. My phone's about to die.
All right.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Wait. We doing a show after Money in the Bank?
Yes, we are. Yes, Money in the Bank.
Money in the Skank?
I should be able to do
No, that. Money in the blank, because there's no money inside the briefcase.
Money in the blank. I love it. So, yeah, I'm going to do it. Kevin, you said you might be able to. Did I hear that?
Yeah, I might be able
my
to.
My ears deceive me?
I've been hype on the wrestling and trying to watch it live and stuff, so I might try to jump in with y'all after it. I think
nice.
I'll be pleased.
Nice. Albert, any chance we could possibly hear from Rancho Punk Rock?
You know what? There is a chance, but I'm usually like an hour or two behind when I'm watching my pay-per-views, man. So, but I'll be back in San Antonio, and I'll probably be there by myself. So, yeah, there's probably a pretty good chance. I'll let y'all know the day of.
Where are you at right now, man? You back at the hotel? You want to stop by and have a drink? Or
no,
what do you want to do?
No, I'm still at the Heights outside the restaurant waiting. We'll see.
Damn,
we'll see where do you live, Chuck, by the way?
I live in Briar Forest. Open up your Google Maps.
Shit, okay.
Yeah, open up your Google Maps. I'm right down the street from you. There's a little bar right up the street that we can meet. I mean, that literally around the corner. from where
yeah,
I live.
Yeah, well, it might have to be tomorrow because I think we're going up to this beer garden over here on Shepherd. Here in
oh,
minute.
Yeah. Nice.
You know,
go do that. I'll definitely
let you know, but I'll be back and forth for the next month, man, so.
Are you available? Wait a minute. This is going to keep going on for another month still?
Yeah, roughly another month. Yeah, I'm usually in San Antonio on the weekends, and then I'm in Houston from like Monday or even Tuesday to like Thursday. You know what I mean? That type of shit. So that's kind of what I'm working on for now.
Shame on you for not calling me. Shame on you.
Well, every time I come, it's just complete fucking chaos.
Hey, listen,
you know what
man.
I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, shit,
but
trying to do the show.
But I know you're in town tomorrow, fucker. I know you're in town tomorrow, man. I'm going to take you tomorrow, dude. You're going to have the best fucking quesadilla you've ever fucking had. Book it.
Damn.
All right, sounds good.
Book it. I'm going to call you in the morning, dude, and we'll fucking book it. It's not close. Are you still over there on off of the tollway, beltway, and fucking... where is it? Bel Air?
No, now the hotels at Beltway and 10, right there on Willcrest. So it's it's
I'm on Willcrest.
Yeah,
dude, I've been on Willcrest.
Yes, I said Briar Forest is right there where we are. Like,
so,
I passed by
there you go.
There you go,
bro.
All right.
So, tomorrow I'm going to take you best quesadilla you've ever fucking had.
I probably drove by your fucking apartment like 20 times in the last couple of weeks.
I'm sure you have. Guys, so, shit. Close ourselves out, man.
Yeah.
Christian,
we'll
see you this weekend, brother. I'll be there.
Okay.
I'm going to produce and I'm going to be there. I'm hoping that... DJ from FLA, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm hoping that he'll be there, and hopefully even the other guy. I don't remember the other guy's name.
Ahmad, yeah.
And maybe I can meet Ahmad. I've never met him, but I certainly appreciate you having your squad on here. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian from FLA.
Thank you, guys.
By the way, he says good night, motherfuckers. Kevier, close yourself out, my friend.
Shit, like you said, Chuck, thanks for plugging my show. The Haulers is my band.
Yes, sir.
And we have an album that we're working on, and we're going to be putting that out before the end of the year. But this is our first show of many, and we're in the Houston area. Come out and check that out Saturday. I'll see you there, Chuck. Definitely, Albert, if you're in town, man, let's sync up one day. We're like, I'll get off work one day, and we'll go, like, sync up and eat some good food and talk wrestling or something. That sounds like it'd be cool. I'll bend my schedule around it. Let's make it happen. But other than that, man, fucking local wrestling, GCW, Houston wrestling, local wrestling, the Houston Premier Arena, everything that comes out of there, Lucha Libre, AW, you know, WWE's cool, but like, fuck, man. Like, I've been watching Fight TV and every wrestling app I can get my hands on, like, just like looking at different indie promotions. And they're not all good, but man, they're fucking kind of cool. And there's like guys that, you know, I've heard Albert talk about seeing Brian Danielson whenever he was a kid. I've heard Chuck talk about seeing the guys he talked about when he was a kid. Like, it's just like, and there's, you know, I see guys on WWE today where that's where you're going to find those guys. That's why we watch this shit. Watch indie wrestling, because right now it's like a renaissance again. This is the relaunch of pro wrestling. And if you watch indie wrestling right now, all of these guys are the ones that are going to be on your TV soon. I think. I'm just saying, like, because there's a lot of fucking talent. So just watch indie wrestling. That's what I want to leave y'all with. And I'll see y'all next time.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen. Kevier West. And by the way, guys, be sure to check out Alex Staunch on Staunch TV on YouTube. He's got a lot of new things going on. Recently went to Hollywood to go make a video with Vanilla Ice, but I will tell you no more. It is up to you to go check it out. Staunch TV on YouTube.
Hey. I just got a message. Alex Staunch is somewhere in Houston right now. He just landed in Houston, and they got stuck or something. So maybe Stanch will join us tomorrow for a beer. I don't know.
I'll be damned. We definitely got to check that out.
He can tell us his Vanilla Ice stories. He can tell us his Vanilla Ice and Corey Feldman stories.
In person. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
Woo! He can't beat it, bro. We'll do it. Great. I mean, you know, the quesadilla is big enough for two, bro. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, there was that place I passed by the other day, Molly's Irish Pub. Do you live around there?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
I've driven by that place like 20 times. Like, I want to stop there and have a fucking beer. But what place are you talking about, though? What are
I'm talking about
West
Chase Tavern is actually closer to me. That's the one that's right around the corner. Yeah, West Chase Tavern. Google it. You'll check it out. Talking about the place that I'm talking about in Quesadilla. It's like a little grocery store. And, I mean, it's far bar none, bro. The best quesadilla you'll ever have. I mean, they just make it and right there, you know, and you eat it. You can eat it right there if you want, or you can take it with you. I typically eat mine right there because they have tables and shit. And you can get a soda, you know, or a Topo Chico or whatever the hell. They have them on ice. And boom, pop one of those open. And I typically get a Pepsi, you know, from the Mexican ones. And, man, I drink that sucker down and eat my quesadilla. And it's a great afternoon after that, bro.
Something about the real sugar in those Mexican sodas just makes it a little bit better. I don't know what it is.
Is that what it is? The real sugar? I've been trying to figure it out all my life. I've been trying to figure
water,
it out
dude.
All my life,
it's
man.
The goddamn water thing.
Close yourself out, my friend.
Have a good time, everybody. That's all I got to say. And thanks for listening. And support independent wrestling.
Right on. And ladies and gentlemen, for the Swami, Christian from Philly, for Kevier West, and for Rancho Punk Rocker Albert Inspected, I am Internet Radio Zone, the resident heel, minister of sinister, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. We'll see you next time, right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Peace, motherfuckers.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.